Amen. Well, after such a, I hate to use the word worship set, but after some wonderful songs of pointing us to Christ and such a very heartfelt time of prayer, just have communion and move on, huh? Good, been a good morning already. But we're not. We are going to continue in the book of Hebrews for what I hope is an equally encouraging time for us in the Lord this morning. So I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews. If you've been with us, it should be a well-worn path to this wonderful anonymous letter from the writer of Hebrews, authored by the Holy Spirit, to the original audience of the Hellenistic Jews and to us today in 2020 and for all of God's people. And so we've been working through Hebrews for quite a while. We've taken a slow detour through chapter 11 here. And I think I gave you a heads up last week. It's about to get even slower. And so we've been in the Genesis patriarchs, starting from Abel through Abraham and his sons, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And those, we were pretty familiar with their story. If you've been with us at North Hills for any length of time, we spent quite a while in Genesis. And so those were somewhat familiar to us, and we could somewhat connect with them. We'd jump back in Genesis and get their context and jump back into Hebrews and to see what Hebrews, to see what the Spirit was trying to say about faith. As we know, Hebrews 11 is not necessarily a hall of faith to these great individuals. They are remarkable individuals, men and women of God, ordinary men and women of God, that God used in extraordinary ways, and God had his hand on. We'll see kind of a very specific example of one this morning who even from birth was extraordinary, not because he was an extraordinary person on his own, but because God had an extraordinary plan for him. And so this is not a hall of faith of these individuals, hall of fame for these individuals, but it's a hall of faith to look at what faith produces, to look at what biblical, gospel-centered faith does in the lives and in the hearts of individuals who by faith turn to Christ. As we always do, we'll look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to be reminded that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So they're not commended for who they were. They're commended for the faith they had. And we know the faith ultimately comes from the Lord. So by submitting to the Lord, God used them in incredible ways. And by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And such a good reminder, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's not even our own wisdom that allows us to see the beauty of the gospel, allows us to trust in the Lord. It is by this God-given faith that we even understand the reality that is before us, that is created by God himself. And so, with this faith, we work through Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Abraham again, and then Isaac and Jacob and Joseph last week. And so now we turn the page. I physically turned the page. It's funny how long you stay on a page in a preacher's Bible. If you go to Ephesians, if you want to look at it after church, you can. There's just a bunch of sweat marks on those pages because for 9 months, we were in about four pages of my Bible. But now I get to turn the page to page 1212. Where we get to out of Genesis into Exodus. And so let's read our text, and then we'll back up and talk about it. Good? So Hebrews 11, verse 23. We'll just read verse 23 through 28. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing himself, of seeing him who is invisible. By faith, He kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us to this text this morning. Thank you for your rich word that we find in Hebrews 11 this morning. Thank you for the life of Moses. Thank you for the faith that we see in him, with the faith we see in his parents, Lord. And we thank you that faith, Lord, is what we live by, as our hope is in the anchor of our faith, who is Christ. In his sweet and strong name we do pray. Amen. So, as you can tell this morning, and actually for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. Whenever, especially you include verse 29 there, the story of Moses, we see these five by faith moments in the life of Moses. Just as we saw five by faith moments in the life of Abraham. Abraham and Moses are two essential individuals. We don't like to use the word characters here, because characters are those that you find in stories. And these are real individuals, real men who lived and walked this earth so many years ago. So these two individuals, Abraham and Moses, are essential in the Hebrew faith. They're essential in our faith, in our story, in the redemptive story of Christ. And as God has been redeeming his people since Genesis chapter 3, since sin entered into the world. And so as we see, Hebrews is this story of redemption. We're seeing how God is redeeming his people, how God is using his people to be deliverers and redeemers, and ultimately will point us to Christ, who is our true redeemer, our true hope, our true help. And so here's Moses that we're going to look at for the next few weeks. And again, we don't have time to really do a great biography of Moses. There's so much of Moses in Scripture, so much we could talk about Moses as one of the most important men in the Hebrew faith. But for the best introduction of Moses, I want us to look at a couple of different verses to really help us succinctly describe Moses. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Starts the paragraph unit there. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all of his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Now, part of us could laugh, because that is likely written by Moses, most humble man who ever lived, in this great account of Moses. But this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so this is not Moses puffing up, quite the opposite. It is showing the might of the Lord and what God has done and what God did through the life and ministry and time of Moses. And there's much more that could be said, but we see clearly that Moses is someone that God used in a very special and specific way. Go with me to Numbers, just one book back, if you'll be specific. I'll get there in a minute. Numbers chapter 12. I'm just going to let the Bible introduce Moses to you. For those who may not be as familiar with Moses, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, we'll start. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream." And so he's saying all these prophets that you're going to know, that you have known, and you will know, and that they'll be recorded in the Old Testament here. He has this relationship with them, and he speaks to them in visions. "Not so," verse 7 says, "with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And so we clearly see that Moses is rightfully considered the greatest prophet in Israel. He is considered the mightiest deliverer. But yet he comes across in this humble way, not because he's some good Southern all shucks kind of guy, don't give me any of that credit, but because he recognized his reliance on the Lord. He recognized that, and we see this even in his story, in his life. He said, look, there's not good in me. I'm not the man for this job, Lord, but God sent him. And he recognized his reliance on the Lord throughout his life and ministry. And he wasn't perfect. And we see even sin in Moses' life. And we see God's judgment against Moses towards the end of his life and ministry. So he's not perfect, but he points us to the perfect and true Redeemer. He points us to the perfect and true Deliverer, who is Christ. And so Moses helps us to see, if Moses is this good, if he's the greatest prophet in Israel, if we can say all these things about Moses, who is imperfect, sinful man in need of a Savior, how much more amazing is Christ, who is a flawless Redeemer, who is the truest prophet. And so he recognized his reliance on the Lord. And Moses was only a shadow of the true Deliverer and the true prophet, Jesus Christ. Now we see, as we're in Hebrews 11 here, we're about to start talking about old Moses, that there is a difference, as we'll see this morning. There's a difference between Abraham and Moses and how even their life begins. If you remember from Abraham, walking through him these past few weeks and in Genesis years ago, God just showed up. God just showed up, and it seemed like randomly, which we know is not the case, but God, by his own good pleasure, he picked Abraham out of a pagan life, out of a pagan family, out of a father who followed pagan gods and did not know the Lord, did not trust the Lord, did not have faith in the Lord. But we see Moses here, as we're going to see this morning, as we're going to start the life of Moses, really with his parents. We're going to see that Moses comes from a family who loved the Lord, who trusted the Lord, and who had faith in the Lord. His faith ability to save and sustain then and in the future. And so we see this difference in their parents. And the faith of Moses began in the life and faith of his parents, which is just a big difference between him and Moses. But ultimately, their faith is rooted in the same hope, and that hope is Christ. That hope is that God would deliver on his promises. So, verse 23, backing up to our passage this morning, we're going to just kind of camp in verse 23 today, where it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so let's just camp out here this morning for a little bit. I have three things I'd like us to see from this text. And just to be honest with you, the first here is a little bit speculative. I'm just going to admit that, own up to it, but I believe it'll be helpful to us. And so, and even the last point, maybe a tad bit, but we'll see that they are rooted in our hope in Scripture and our hope in Christ. There's a lot of text, a lot of scripture on Moses, but there's not a whole lot about his parents. If I were to poll this audience, and I asked a handful this morning in the sound booth, what are the names of the parents of Moses? If you're being honest, all of you probably fail that Bible trivia question, right? Now, I know there's probably one or two out there who maybe can answer it. Most of us do not even know Moses' parents by name. So there's not a whole lot about them, but what we do have about them, we see that they are fueled and filled and are walking by faith. And so the first thing I'd like us to see this morning is the fact that Moses was born was an act of faith. The fact that Moses was born was an act of faith. And it says there, by faith when he was born. And so, obviously, Moses was born. He was brought into this world. And it was a world that is one that you really don't want to bring your kids in, especially, maybe solely, if you were a Hebrew, if you were an Israelite, if you followed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you were a slave in Egypt, which was pretty much where they all were. They were slaves in Egypt at the time. The Pharaoh wanted to thin them out. And so he sent this edict. He sent this decree that all of these Jewish boys who were to be born during this time were to be killed. I mean, this is a heinous crime. This is a sickening decree, but this was the law of the land. And so it was not a good time to have a child if you were a Hebrew family. If you were a Jewish mother and father, it was not the right time to bring a child into the world. And that's no different today, right? I mean, especially if we look at our time, the world that we live in right now, It doesn't seem to be a great time to bring a child into the world because the sinfulness of man, and this is true, I think, throughout all of history, because the sinfulness of man, rarely has there been a good time, logically, it's been a good time. So you know what? This is the world I want my child to be brought up in. Everything is right. Everything is good. Now, by and large, there's probably been better times in history than others. But if you were a Hebrew, if you were a Jewish father and mother, during the time that they had Moses was not the time to have a child. It was a time to be fearful of having children. Now, there's even a, I'll read something from Josephus. Josephus, in case you don't know, he's a Jewish historian. This is not inspired, but this is kind of, and Josephus is usually one that we trust. Sometimes he kind of goes off the rails. But Josephus, this Jewish historian, says this when it comes to how his parents kind of saw this time in their life and whether or not to have Moses. So Josephus says these things revealed to him in a vision. Amram, I didn't even tell you his parents' name, Amram and Jochebed are his mother and father. And in case it's difficult, Amram being the father, Jochebed being the mother. Not your typical names in the South. And so these are his parents. So Amram, on awaking, he woke up from a dream, disclosed to Jochebed his wife. And their fears were only more intensified by the prediction in the dream. For it was not merely for a child that they would be anxious, but that the high felicity for which he was destined. So supposedly, according to Jewish lore and Jewish history, that they knew even before Moses was born that one, he would be born, and two, God would have a plan for him. God would use him. And so another source in Hebrew history tells us that Amram, I'm going to butcher the name several times this morning, so y'all just get used to it, okay? Amram was believed to have sent his wife away for 3 years. This was a long edict in Egypt. It was not just for a few months or for years. They had this plan to kill these Jewish babies. And so he sent his wife away. He said, go away because I cannot fathom the thought of us having children and you seeing your children being taken away. And so there was this there's belief that he sent them away. And then whenever he was revealed to him that they would have a son, that God would use him, then by faith he brought his wife back and they conceived Moses. But as you can imagine, fear could have led Moses' parents to wait. You can imagine fear of the edict, fear of the government, fear of their situation, fear of the circumstances could have said, you know, we're not even going to remotely do anything that would help us to have a child. I'm going to go through great lengths not to have this. So the fact that Moses was born was an act of faith. It was them trusting in the Lord, and we see that there. We'll bring it up time and again this morning. It says they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so the fact that he was born was an act of faith. And isn't it such an encouragement for parents and grandparents today and all of us as we think about children, especially children here at North Hills, and those who are to be, that despite the broken world and all the evils therein, all the reasons logically we could say this is a horrible and broken place, that we can by faith trust that the life the Lord brings is the life that He sustains. That the life the Lord brings is the life that He sustains. And that every child the Lord creates, every child the Lord brings life to, can be used in incredible ways to accomplish the Lord's will. We can say, you know what, I'm not going to have a Moses. I'm not going to have an Abraham. You know, I'm just glad my kid passed kindergarten. But no, God can and does use all of His children in incredible ways that we can't even fathom. And so the fact that He was born, I believe, was an act of faith. Secondly is this, that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. And this is the emphasis of verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So Moses shows up, Jewish lore aside, whether all that stuff happened, we're not quite for sure. But the point is, Moses is born. And he's born during a time that it's not good to be born as a Jewish boy. Because there was a target on his head from the moment he was born. So in faith, they hid him. In faith, It wasn't through fear. It wasn't through flesh. It wasn't through their comfort. It wasn't through this is my baby. It was through faith. Now, we can speculate what that means, and we could talk about how in faith you can ignore this government edict, which is not speculative at all. When the government says you should kill babies, you don't kill babies. In faith, you can not do that. And so the government says, we're going to kill your child. And they said, no, you're not. So they hid Moses, and they hid him well, as we'll see in just a minute. So the emphasis here is that he was hidden and that he was kept from harm. And this is not just a moment of faith that we see in the life of Amram and Jochebed. This is a continual faith every day, throughout the day, multiple times. Can you imagine hiding a three-month-old child? Could you imagine a four-week child and all their screams and cries and all the stuff they would take? It's not easy to hide a baby. I've tried. No, I haven't. So it's not easy, right? And so this is a continual, this is a part of their life for 3 months every day, throughout their day. They're keeping him from being exposed. They're protecting him from those who would do him harm. They're protecting him from those who would take his life. By faith, Jochebed and Amram, they protected their child from the evil outside of their home. And you could say, wouldn't any good parent do the same? Wouldn't any reasonable parent do whatever to protect their child? Yes, absolutely. But it's not so much in what they did, but it's in how they did it. They did it by faith. They didn't hide him out of fear, driven by fear. Sure, they were scared. Sure, there were doubts. Sure, there were those moments. But it was by faith. It's by faith that they hid Moses because they knew that God had a plan for this child. They knew that he was the Lord. They knew that ultimately he didn't even belong to them, as we'll see here at the end. By faith, they protected their children. As a parent, you can protect your children out of fear, or you can protect your children out of faith. It's easy to be driven by fear, especially in the 21st century. It's the only century. Well, I guess I've lived in two centuries. Most of us have. Some haven't. But I haven't lived through much of the history of mankind. And I'm sure there's been all kinds of times that have been difficult, but I can't imagine it much more difficult than today. And all the uncertainties and all the forces that are out against our children and want the hearts and minds and attention of our children. So it's easy to parent out of fear. It's easy to protect our children out of fear. But as gospel-centered believers, that we do the same as Amram and Jochebed. It's by faith to protect, by faith care, by faith entrust the welfare of our children to the Lord. We are his stewards, and we are the stewards of our children that God has given us, but they're ultimately his. They were not operating out of fear. And for it says very clearly, they were not afraid of the king's edict. And why is one of the reasons that gives us a very clear but yet very difficult to understand meaning here, kind of what motivated them, what helped them to realize that Moses was the Lord's. And it says, because they saw that the child was beautiful. Now just think about that for a second. If we're to be honest, are all babies beautiful? No. But are all your babies beautiful? Yes, right? Till you look back on pictures 7 years later, you're like, I see what they were saying. So obviously this is not a moment of, hey, he's a beautiful baby. We're going to protect him. So what does this mean? I believe, did I write down the reference? Yes, Acts chapter 7 gives us really, I think, some of the better insight, which is still kind of difficult to really grasp a hold of. Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, Stephen has given his incredible speech here where he kind of tells a good snapshot of the redemptive history and how God is redeeming his people. But in Acts 7, verse 20, he says, at this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. He was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when you look at Exodus chapter 2, which we'll turn to in a moment, it just says that he was fine. And so these words, the root of these words is a picture both of physically have an appearance that is pleasing and that is beautiful like we think of beauty, but it's also has a meaning of unusual, of different, of not ordinary. thinking, oh, now that's my kid, not ordinary. Okay, I'm with you. My kid's beautiful. John Calvin helps us, and I think, with a good explanation of this. Calvin says, it seems contrary to the nature of faith that he says that they were induced to do this to protect him by the beauty of his form. We know that Jesse, the father of David, was rebuked when he brought his sons to Samuel in order of their physical excellence, and certainly God does not hold to external appearances. Can I get an amen for most of us in this room? I reply that the parents of Moses were not induced by his beauty to be touched with pity and save him as men are commonly affected. But there was some sort of mark of excellence to come engraved on the boy by which gave promise of something out of the ordinary for him. Now again, we don't have to know exactly what this means, that he was beautiful. But what we know that it ultimately points us to is that they saw in Moses God. They saw in Moses that God had a plan for their son. And so when they were protecting him, when they were saving him, they were doing so in faith. They were doing so recognizing that this was God's child, that this belonged to the Lord. And we can say the same of our children today. They may not have the same story and the same narrative to be told as Moses did. It may not have the same all the same things that happened to Moses, but all of our children, they are the Lord's, that they are His, and that we are stewards to take care of. Whatever it was, when looking at Moses, his parents were reminded that he belonged to the Lord. So our call as parents, grandparents, believers amongst children is to, by faith, protect God's little ones. And I believe we can see this from our text this morning. And this is not just a call to parents or grandparents. This is a call to all of us. This is a call for all of gospel-centered believers, especially our covenant members in North Hills, is to see the children of North Hills, not just as, oh, that's so-and-so's kid and that's so-and-so's grandkid, but to have ownership, to have love, to compassion, to have these desires to see God work in and mature these young people towards faith and hope in Him. So we see by faith his parents hid Moses for 3 months, and we see by faith Moses was even born. And lastly, by faith the parents of Moses set him in the Nile. By faith his parents set him in the Nile. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 and see this story unfold a little bit. Exodus chapter 2, we'll start in verse 3. I wasn't starting verse 1. We're too close to the beginning. Exodus chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. This is kind of where we are now. She hid him for 3 months. Now in verse 3, gives us a little extra background. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes or papyrus and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. So she basically made this basket and put tar over it so that it'd float. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. And now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." This is one of those incredible stories, right? And so you kind of see what's happened. If this is new to you, it'd be wonderful. This is, comes fresh. But we know the end of the story. And so here's Pharaoh's daughter. She needs to find a nurse. And so here's Moses' sister. I know who to call. And so the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." And so the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, she named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." So we see this picture that by faith that his mother, Jochebed, sends him down the river. Doesn't know what's about to happen. She doesn't know the story of Exodus chapter 2 yet. She doesn't know what's about to happen to her Moses. Doesn't know what's about to happen to this son of hers. but she does so in faith. When the time came, Moses' mom knew that she could not hide and protect her baby any longer. Because it says, when she could not hide him any longer. It was actually a very cruel trap of the Egyptians. Just to show you kind of the deplorable status of the culture at the time, as they weren't just, if they happened to find a baby, they would kill them. They sought them out and said that these Egyptian servants would go into someone's home and they would see a baby and they would pinch the baby, because they believed, and which is usually true, if that baby cried, it would cause other babies to cry. And so they were seeking out these children to destroy them under the edict and decree of Pharaoh. And so it was this cruel trap. And so when it came time, Jochebed planned and prepared to send Moses out to continue to protect him, to continue to care for him. Because again, he was the Lord's. She did so the same way that she and her husband had protected him already. She did so by faith. She sent him out by faith, not by fear. Because again, they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid of their circumstances. And so by faith, we see her send Moses down the Nile. Can you imagine how difficult that was for Moses' mother? Could you imagine how difficult it was for his father? Could you imagine how difficult it was for his sister? Could you imagine how difficult it was, spoiler alert, for Aaron, his brother, that were already there? And seeing this and watching it play out. But by faith, they entrusted the Lord. By faith, they entrusted the fate of their son, not to a particular basket, not to a particular plan, but they trusted that the Lord would care for him. They trusted the Lord would put him exactly where he needed to be. And we read this story and say, how unbelievable is this? That they put their kid in a basket and floats down a river and doesn't get eaten by the Nile crocodiles and it doesn't get swept away or hit a rock, but it goes right to the Pharaoh's daughter. It seems unbelievable. It's something that only the Lord could do. And isn't it a great reminder that God can care for our children far better than us? That he can protect them and provide for them and care for them far better than we can. So we have to trust the Lord with our children, knowing that they are his. She made a plan. She made her preparations, but ultimately she trusted the Lord. She placed Moses in his hands as she sent him down the river. How are we planning and preparing our kids to be released to the world? That's exactly what she does. She sends him down the river, having no idea what's going to happen. And he's 3 months old. They haven't discipled him yet. They haven't invested in him yet. They haven't taught him the ways. They're trusting the Lord for all of these things. And so how are we, not the 3 months that we have, but maybe the 18 years, maybe the few months, maybe a few years. But who knows what God's plan is for our children, but what are we doing to plan and prepare our kids to be released to the world? Maybe you don't have kids, or maybe your kids are grown and gone. We all have a part. We all have a very specific part as God's gathered people, as God's covenant members of North Hills Church. We all have a part to invest in, to love, to pray for, to disciple the children of North Hills. It's not just the call of mom and dad. It's the call of all of us to love on, to pray for, to invest in the children that God has placed us, that he's entrusted us with. All of us have a call to demonstrate a life lived by faith. And we're going to see this, or you'll see in Exodus 2 if you continue reading, that she raises Moses for his formative years there. And so what do you think Moses saw in their home? The same faith that got him to the Nile. And so he saw this faith lived out with his parents. He saw this faith lived out amongst this community. And we're going to see next week that there's going to come a dividing, there's going to come a crossroads in Moses' life. Which life do I live? Which path do I pursue? Is it this sinful, flesh-gratifying path, or is it this path that honors the Lord? And he saw faith demonstrated and lived out at home in his community. All of us, we have a call to pray for and with the children the Lord brings to us. All of us have a call to disciple the little ones in our congregation, if we have the attitude, glad that's not my kid, then we missed it. All of the children here at North Hills belong to all the people in the body of Christ that God has assembled here at North Hills Church. All of us have this call to demonstrate a life lived by faith. All of us have this call to pray for the children. All of us have a call to disciple the kids that God allows into our faith community. By faith, we can all be a part of pointing each other to Christ and seeing God grow them and use them in ways that we can't even imagine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for a chance to turn to your word. Lord, I thank you for the story, the life of Moses, of his parents. Lord, thank you that you've given us enough in Scripture, Lord, that we can understand how they saw their child, that he was yours, and that by faith, Lord, they made these tough decisions. By faith, they trusted you. They didn't have it all figured out, but they trusted you. So help us, Lord, to have that trust, to have that faith in you. Lord, as we come this morning to your table, as we remember the body that was broken and the blood that was poured out, as we remember you, Father, the sending your Son into the world to be our Redeemer and our Deliverer, and we remember Christ. So as we come to the table, Lord, as we sing this morning, as we give, as we have these opportunities to look to you, Father, help us to see and behold Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen.